This is a rain flashback. On September 12, 1988, Hurricane Gilbert stormed across the Caribbean island of Jamaica. During the 1989 Dayton Hamvention, I interviewed the now late Dave Porter, K2BPP, who was living and working on the island at the time. Here is his story about Hurricane Gilbert that I've dubbed A Night to Remember.
I went to Jamaica in 1988 on June 27th, right after field day, as the testing and acceptance engineer for AT&T at a new satellite station that was being built in Montego Bay, Jamaica, that AT&T had sold to a new Jamaican corporation. And I was to stay and do the testing and acceptance of the satellite hardware when it was finished. It was under construction when I got there. The construction got a little bit delayed, so I wound up staying a little bit more than the 6 weeks that I had planned to be there. I actually wound up being there for 6 months. During the construction phases, of course, I got to do a lot of ham radio. I had arranged to take a transceiver down there with me and get a reciprocal license from the Jamaican government. Set up in my hotel room with the hotel's approval. Operated every day. In fact, I had DXCC in 13 days. A lot of contacts and ran into a lot of friends. And then when the hurricane came along in September, I was still there. Having been through 6 hurricanes in the United States, growing up on the East Coast, I was well familiar with what a hurricane could do. So I paid close attention to the progress of this hurricane. The other hurricanes a little bit earlier in the summer had passed other parts of the Caribbean, had not come over towards Jamaica, which is in the Western Caribbean. But this one called Gilbert was headed directly at us, and for 6 days I tracked it on a map and saw that it was still coming towards Jamaica. So we made preparations to protect the satellite station, get everything up high, out of, away from water, and to be protected from the winds. It was interesting because as soon as other people around me realized that I had experience in hurricanes, they began to quiz me all the time as to what to do, because Jamaica had not had a hurricane in 31 years, so most Jamaicans had never lived through a hurricane. They had no idea what to expect. It was something all new for them. It certainly had the highest winds that I've ever been in. We had sustained winds of 180 and gusts that were recorded at 212. So it was certainly the highest wind level. They also documented that it was the lowest barometric pressure ever recorded in the Western Hemisphere.
How low?
26.13 inches or 884 millibars.
That's amazing.
So that's below the normal scale of most barometers. The saving grace, Hap, was that the sea level did not come up as they expected. Normally in a hurricane, you get a tidal surge. The hurricane pushes the water up on the land, and you can get a surge of as much as 20 to 25 feet. In our particular case, in most of the coastal area of Jamaica, the water only came up 3 feet or 4 feet.
How do you account for that?
I don't have any professional answer to that, but it is my speculation that it was caused by the very tight, confined nature of the hurricane force winds. The eye of the hurricane, Hap, was only 8 miles in diameter, which is very narrow. Normally the eye of a hurricane is 15 to 20 or more miles in diameter. This was very tightly, compactly put together. They estimated that the hurricane force winds only extended out 50 to 75 miles. Well, the hurricane came directly through the center of the island from east to west and bisected right through the center of the island. Jamaica's a big island. It's 150 miles long. It's 50 miles wide, and in the center is a mountain chain that goes up over 7,200 feet. So it's a very big, very mountainous island. And the storm really just went right down the center of it, so there was not very much in the way of hurricane winds offshore.
Just how bad was it?
Well, it was pretty frightening because I was in a concrete and steel hotel, 7 stories high, and I was on the top floor of the 7th floor in my room. And during the height of the storm, the floor was quivering and the walls were quivering. And we had to remove the mirrors and the pictures off the walls because I was afraid that some of them were going to fall on the radio equipment.
Were you ever afraid that the whole building might go?
No. I really had faith that the building would stay up, that because it was concrete and steel, that it was just going to rock and roll and we wouldn't have the problem. However, I was probably a little naive because I did stay in the room right up until the time the hurricane was coordinated to be right on top of us at 4 in the afternoon on September 12th. And when I got the coordinates and saw that it was directly in line with where I was near Montego Bay, why, I got up to deliver that message. And I went out of my room and went to the elevator down the hall, and I heard a big boom. And I thought, uh-oh, I better go back and check my room and see what's the matter.
You're listening to the late Dave Porter, K2BPP, recalling his harrowing experience weathering Hurricane Gilbert as it churned across Jamaica in September 1988. We'll resume this rain flashback in a moment.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
I went back and I couldn't get the door open to my room. And the air pressure was so strong. So there were some security guards in the hall helping people evacuate out of the rooms and having them sit down in the hallway with their baggage like an air raid. And they helped me force the door open, five of us, to get the door open against the wind. And as soon as the door was open, I saw that an interior wall had blown down right across the radio equipment and across the beds. And there was wet sheetrock and fiberglass all over the room, that the glass doors to the balcony had exploded out, and the mattress that I had put up against the glass doors had been sucked out in the storm along with a chair. I probably missed being eliminated by less than 1 minute.
Jeez.
And I didn't even think about that at the time. My one thought was to get in the room and get the radio out from underneath this wet sheetrock. And I peeled the sheetrock away, and in a split second, somehow I realized the only dry place was the bathroom. And I wheeled around and climbed back over the sheetrock and slid back into the bathroom and put the radio equipment down, wiped it off with a towel real fast, went back and got some more. Well, while I was getting the radio equipment, I noticed it was sliding across the table very slowly towards the opening in the side of my room.
Uh-oh.
And I realized it was the cables and the coax were pulling the equipment out of the room. And that was because the wind was blowing the antenna off the roof, the beam. The effect was what I call the Jaws effect from that movie Jaws, where the shark was trying to pull the man out of the boat into the water. But I realized what it was in a moment, that it was the cables were pulling the equipment, and I reached into the back and undid the coax, and they ripped the rotor cable off the control unit, and they snapped away underneath the wet sheetrock and got the equipment in the bathroom. Well, I came back about an hour later after I got some dry clothes and had a couple of beers, and I felt a little better, and the wind had shifted a little bit, so I was able to get in the room, and I took a little screwdriver with me, and I wanted to get the cover off the transceiver to make sure there was no salt water inside. Once I got it open, I determined that it was dry inside, that I had removed it in time. And then it occurred to me, why not set up in the bathroom? It was nice and dry in there. It was just enough room. And I took a couple of pieces of sheetrock, little pieces, and set them over the sink and made it into a ham shack and pulled the cables in under the door. And in 5 minutes, I was back on the air and back on the network and getting reports back and forth to the Hurricane Center. And I stayed there for the rest of the night. And the next day, we cleaned all of the mess out of the room and the beds and the sheetrock, and we set up folding tables and made it into a comm center.
When you looked outside the room there, outside the building the next day, was it better or worse than you thought it might be as far as the destruction?
Actually, I think the scene was probably, in retrospect now, a little better than what I expected. There were still some trees that survived. The little sailboats that had been down at the beach had all been blown into the parking lot and were sticking into the sides of cars like spears. That was a pretty horrible sight to see. And the folding chairs that had been folded and put on the lawn instead of out of the way had been picked up and blown right through the chain link fence that separated the tennis courts and destroyed the fence. But there were some trees that actually survived, and including the one that held my dipole. The dipole was the only antenna that survived. and it was attached from my balcony out to the only palm tree in a line of palm trees that survived. I really believe that there was divine help at this point that told me to leave the room when I did and allowed me one antenna to keep on during and after the hurricane.
Tell me about your communications activities and the equipment you were using.
Well, the equipment I had was an ICOM 735 transceiver, the little tiny ICOM that was available. It was only about 3 months old. It had really gotten broken in at field day just before I went down to Jamaica. And an Asden power supply and a little B&W antenna tuner. And I brought along an 80-meter dipole, which could use for anything. And the chief engineer at the hotel was a ham, and he had loaned me his high-gain trap vertical, an 18 AVT. My engineer friend also loaned me his Cushcraft A3 tribander, which we put up about 2 weeks after I first got there. But I was on the air within 24 hours.
Where did the power come from?
Well, the hotel very fortunately had its own power system. The hotel was built 17 years ago as an intercontinental hotel, and they put in 4 half-million-watt Caterpillar diesels in the basement, and they would normally run on 2 of them at a time. So they never did run on island power for the last 17 years. So we never had any loss of power or interruption of services.
And no flooding in the basement or not enough to damage
the... There was, fortunately, no flooding in the basement. They had pumps standing by, but fortunately the tidal surge did not come up very high, so they were okay, and we never lost power.
How far is that hotel from the ocean?
About 150 feet. Pretty exposed.
Yeah, I'd say so. This has been a Rain Flashback, entitled A Night to Remember, part one of a 1989 interview with the late Dave Porter, K2BPP, a former broadcast cable consultant who put amateur radio to good use during Hurricane Gilbert's 3-day rampage across the Caribbean island of Jamaica in September 1988. Porter will include his recollections next time. For the Rain Report, I'm Hap Holly, KC9RP.
The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2013 Rain, all rights reserved. 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. www.therainreport.com